Good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, Utah. Good morning to the Uinta Mountains. Good morning to those two Rottweilers that live next door. Yeah, I see your owners let you out of the... let you out of the cage. But you're beautiful dogs. You look scary, but you're kind of nice. I love you guys. Good morning to that skunk that lives in the poop lot. It is an obsession of the dogs of this household, the skunk that lives in the poop lot. The poop lot is the lot next to where the people live and take their dogs to go poop. There's a skunk in the poop lot. Good morning, skunk. It's September the 2nd. It's September the 2nd, 2021. It's September the 2nd. September the 11th is next week. Do you have all your shopping done? Do you have all your shopping done for September the 11th? The 20-year anniversary is coming up. There's a bakery that sells a cake. On the cake are three buildings. Once you light the candles, the first two buildings fall symmetrically in a few minutes. But you light the candle on the third building, that's World Trade Center Building 7, but it's just a special candle on your special happy 20th anniversary cake. It takes 7 hours to collapse, and then collapses at freefall speed. It turns out the paper and the plastic and the laptops and the old-style cell phones, ooh, they all exploded in a special symmetrical way that allowed the building to hinkshaw off its foundation and then rimshaw down the slapways. Clearly, that's an engineering flaw, right? If you can cause a building to unhinge itself and then collapse at freefall speed. That seems almost cheaper than trying to hijack airplanes. Meditate on that, brothers and sisters. How hard is it, or excuse me, in the year 2001, how hard would it have been for an illegal alien in New York City to get a job as a janitor? Would have been really hard, kind of hard, maybe not so hard at all? So if you were Al-Qaeda in 2001 and you knew that plastic and paper and cell phones and weird chairs could cause a building to pop up off its foundation and then collapse at free fall speed, wouldn't that have made more sense, right? Oh, but it takes 8 hours, that's true. It takes 8 hours for that building to fall. And if it was a fire, it seems like, yeah, 8 hours. But it turns out there were a lot of interesting documents and papers and other things in World Trade Center 7, and who knows what else they shoved in there at the end. In fact, all the JFK files could have been there, who knows? We'll never know. But there's a baker. He sells a cake. For September the 11th, it has three candles. It has three candles shaped like buildings. One and two, they fall symmetrically in a few minutes, but they go out, yeah. But the third one, as you eat the cake, it takes 7 or 8 hours, and then, you know, it falls. It seems like a less complicated plan to actually have somebody get a job, because they probably could have gotten a job being a janitor or something like that and gotten access to a secure building in the year 2001. I don't know if it was so easy to do in 2002, but I'm pretty certain in September of 2001, just about anybody, as long as they could fake a passport or fake a license, could get a job as a janitor. So why wouldn't you simply rig the buildings to explode? How is it easier to do the things they did, to fly the plane, you know, to fly these planes into the building and knock them over the way they did? Well, they didn't get knocked over, did they? They fell symmetrically, which is weird, right? Because they suffered an asymmetric collision. It's just weird, right? You have an asymmetric kinetic event resulting in the symmetric failure of a system that, ding, 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 depends upon architectural symmetry. That's weird, isn't it? Kinda. And in the history of buildings that have been built out of steel and concrete, ask me how many buildings have fallen like this without controlled demolition. Ding, ding, ding. Answer, zero. Zero before, zero since. Well, Dan, it's not every day that a jetliner, it's an aluminum balloon filled with essentially, you know, kerosene in its wings, if it has a full fuel load. But the kerosene in its wings is not designed to, like, run a furnace to, like, melt steel. It's not actually designed to burn at temperatures that would melt the engine, and certainly not designed to burn at temperatures that would melt the frame of buildings that were supposedly designed to suffer a near hit from a, you know, nuclear, tactical nuclear weapon. Like, they're supposed to be just so well designed when they were built. They would survive earthquakes and all kinds of things. But then a couple of aluminum balloons filled with a little bit of kerosene caused them to collapse symmetrically. This is weird. This is not plausible. But we all believed it because we were in shock. We were all in shock. Maybe not everybody. Maybe there were Vietnam-era hippies who said, "I told you so." And during the dry years, the years where they were outcasts and forced to live in a wilderness, when they were mocked and made fun of, they could shake their finger and say, "Well, I told you so." But a lot of people after 9/11 were simply in shock. When my ex-wife called me on the phone and said a plane had hit the World Trade Center, you know why this didn't concern me? Because I knew these buildings were designed to take hits. And I understood that even if the plane was going 500 miles an hour, even if it was filled with people, even if it was filled with kerosene, yes, it would cause damage, but it wouldn't be some catastrophic failure. And then I got to walk into the Rolls-Royce cafeteria in Indianapolis just in time to see the number 2 building fall. And I looked at it in shock and amazement because my brain said controlled demolition. That's what my brain said. My logical brain looked at it and said, that looks like a controlled demolition. And yet, no, Dan. It was the jet fuel that rapidly melted the building at rates of melting that would technically be faster than the rate at which the steel was formed in the first place, right? So that's a lot of energy, probably more energy than is in the kerosene fuel. And it's going to fail in a symmetric way, which means what? The kerosene magically atomized itself to every floor and caused symmetric failure at the same time? We're stupid people if we believe this story. We are. But then again, a lot of people believe other weird stories too. A lot of people believe the Gulf of Tonkin crap. In fact, I bet you'd find people today who would tell you that no, North Vietnam really did attack us in the Gulf of Tonkin. You would find them, they exist. Just like you'll find Russians with portraits of Joseph Stalin on their wall. There are people that never, ever learn from history, even though they quote-unquote know it, even though they understand it, even though a dictator that came along a few years later named Nikita Khrushchev gives a magical speech telling them, hey, that Joseph Stalin guy, he was kind of a jerk. Despite all that, you will find Russians in Russia today who probably have a portrait of Joseph Stalin on their wall. Just like you'll find people in America today who probably still believe the North Vietnamese attacked us in the Gulf of Tonkin. And that is why, no matter how crazy and stupid and illogical the explanation of 9/11 is, people will believe it. Just like they believe the monkey herpes. In 2019, when I was thinking about, could they use a bioweapon? And I have a podcast called The Great Discontinuity, if you want to check my facts. But I actually asked that question, could they theoretically use a bioweapon to cover up collapse? And my answer was no, because it's unpredictable, it's uncontrollable. But what I didn't think about was, what if they just used the fear of bioweapons and the fear of viruses? I didn't even conceive of that because of my own bias, my own optimism about people, my own belief that people, well, but Dan, no, I didn't want to believe it. But it should have been obvious. It should have been obvious to everyone that the fear of a virus is way more powerful than the virus itself. The panic of this invisible monster. You have to understand something. This is an invisible monster that the religious sect of the modern world has told you exists, aka the scientists. They have told you there's this invisible being that moves around. Heck, there were stories in 2020 where they claimed, they said, the COVID, the Rona, the monkey herpes could move through pipes in a building. Pipes that had one direction of flow. This was the crap that was rolling around the internet. And oh, by the way, if you know who Chris Martinson is, I used to listen to him prior to the monkey herpes. That was one of the first fearmongers. And there's tons of fearmongers out there. And they spread all kinds of fearmongering bullshit. But here's the deal. It's way easier to scare people about magical invisible viruses than it is to actually release them. And if you have to poison a few people for special effects, well, then you'll do that too. But brothers and sisters, prior to the monkey herpes outbreak, hundreds of thousands of people died in American hospitals every year. You've heard me say this, but I got to repeat it because people just don't get it. Hundreds of thousands of people died in American hospitals every year from preventable hospital-acquired infections. Seattle Children's Hospital, supposedly a modern hospital, is being sued by families right now because of kids that died of preventable fungal infections. And anybody out there with a lawyer, if somebody told you your grandma died of the COVID, you need to investigate this. Okay, there are hospitals who are basically taking their mistakes, calling it COVID, and getting out of legal trouble, right? But if you're one of those freaks who still thinks there's a rule of law, you should hire a lawyer because this is bullshit. And there are hospitals using this bullshit to their advantage, and they have no legal or scientific feet to stand on if you're willing and courageous enough to investigate. But you could easily create every horror story you've seen. Every horror story. The weird ones about the 25-year-old woman whose lungs melted. The weird stories about the old dude whose arm fell off. I don't care which horror story you pick. Just using the typical mistakes of hospitals, you could fill every COVID ICU ward. Every single one. And if you add in the flu at a population level, ding, 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 you have your magical monkey herpes epidemic. But it doesn't matter how much logic I use on you. You're going to believe whatever you need to believe. You will. I need to believe in God. That is the only thing I need to believe in now. If I did not believe in God, I would have blown my brains out months ago. Most of you suck so much to me, I don't have words at this point. And maybe I don't mean the listeners, okay? Maybe you're listening on shortwave radio, and this is WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz. You want the notes for this show? Go to dfgtc.org/show notes. There, I got out my angry little bumper so you know who or what this is if you're listening on shortwave radio. If I need to believe in God, if I didn't believe in God, I would have been gone months ago. I would have disappeared months ago. I don't know if I would have harmed myself, but I think I would have gone up into the mountains and seen what would have happened. Coyotes probably would have had me in 3 weeks. That is better than the snake pit that people are putting up with. It is pathetic. I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how many Bitcoin you have. If you're doing the COVID hokey pokey, you are pathetic. You are sad. And if you claim to be a Christian and you're doing it, you're not. Yeah, I'll judge. I'll stand on my feet and say, if there is a God, this is what God would say. You have one Lord, not two, not three, not 50. You have one. And if you're playing the whole COVID hokey pokey, what the hell is wrong with you? But you don't care. And maybe I don't care, right? And maybe there is no God, right? Because I gotta tell you something, and I'm not just speaking to the United States, I'm speaking to the whole goddamned human race. And if that sounded like foul language that could be a curse, you might be on to something. Most of you should pray there is no God. Because if there is a God, I think he's about to raise his mighty fist. Because you all blame him for crap you do. You blame him for that shooting in the street. You blame him for the cancer in the kid. You blame him for the prison that they sent your uncle to. You blame the wrong goddamn person. You blame him for the elections. You blame him for the weather. You blame him for a lot of things that at this point in human history, I don't think you can blame God for. And that includes the weather. Thank you, Raytheon. People will say to me, Dan, what do you mean I should pray there is no God? Look around, sodomite. You think it was just about sticking a penis in a butthole? Are you stupid? That was not what it was about. In fact, I'll even go a step further. That might be one of the great lies of history. It was about neighbor turning from neighbor. It was about man's heart becoming a stone. It was about being able to rationalize the murder of your fellow man and to laugh and to joke and to live in a lie. Sodomite. You think it was about anal sex? Maybe you think it was about oral sex too, right? Maybe you think it was like about some other kind of sex. No. The Lord knows where every one of your holes is. He really does. He knows where all your holes are located, and he knows that you're a clever monkey, and you'll figure out how to stick anything into any hole. Okay? It's not about the holes. It's not about the sex. It really isn't. It is and it isn't. It could be about taking sex for granted, but it's not about the sex. It's about a bunch of people denying their humanity and at the same time cursing their own souls. People died. In the last 18 months, people died lonely, horrible deaths, alone in apartments. They died alone. They died in fear. If this COVID thing is a lie and you help spread it, you're part of that, right? Are you proud of it? Well, Dan, I can't be blamed, really. So if I joined the Nazi party, And I spread around a lot of pamphlets, and I told people that you should go out and commit violence against people because of the color of their skin. But I didn't actually do anything. I guess I'm not responsible either in any way whatsoever. Well, listen, buddy, you're not totally responsible, but if you spread this fear, there was a person that died alone in an apartment last year, and it wasn't just one person. And I'll say this again. If you throw your dead grandma or dead brother at me, I'll throw back at you. Are you stupid? Hire a lawyer. If you think there's a rule of law, if you're a good little voter, and you actually care about your friend, and you actually care about your grandma, and you actually care about your aunt that's slowly dying in a rest home, she's been slowly dying for almost a year. If you actually care, hire a effing lawyer. Okay? And stop believing the lies from hospitals. I worked at hospitals. They are filled with liars. So stop listening to them. If you don't want to listen to God, you sure as hell don't have to listen to me. Why don't you do your own thinking? Hire a lawyer. Just don't accept the fact that they say, oh, grandma died of COVID. Maybe grandma didn't. Maybe it's worthy of an investigation. Maybe instead of melting down all the steel from 9/11, maybe we should have spent a whole fucking month investigating that before we bombed anyone, before we murdered anyone. Maybe we should have taken a little bit of time to think about what we were going to do before we decided to set the world on fire. But no, it's so much easier to be a sodomite. You should pray that there is no God, brothers and sisters. You should pray there is no God. You should hope and pray at the bottom of your heart that there is no God. Because if there is no God, then there are no consequences. And you're just a meat sack doing stupid monkey shit. And it doesn't matter. So pray there is no God. And then it doesn't matter. All of this happens, right? If you believe in, is it Wheeler expansion, the whole multiverse thing? All of this will happen, can happen, should happen. If we all go away, there'll be some other version of us that keeps going, right? So it doesn't matter, does it? All of history repeats itself. It's cyclical. It's like Nietzsche said, given enough time, all of this will repeat itself. So it just doesn't matter, though. Really, does it? Do anything. Go into the streets today and drive your car all over hell. You know, it just doesn't matter. Feed your kids poison. It just doesn't matter. Why don't you go steal your neighbor's car or steal their, you know, steal something they own? It just doesn't matter, you know. You want to understand why Sodom was destroyed, brothers and sisters. You need to look around whatever wretched city you're living in. You need to look at your brothers and sisters on that bus or on that train. If you want to know why Sodom was destroyed, you need to ask yourself how many people died alone in some dingy apartment in the last 18 months because of a lie. And even if it was true, it was a truth so few had the courage to investigate. So it still looks like a lie. It looks like a big giant turd. A turd that killed people. It didn't kill people through infection. No, no, no. That was probably fungal, MRSA, something else at the hospital. I promise you that was way more likely. And no, you don't care about your grandma because you care more about the lies. No. No. They were killed by the lies. Their businesses were destroyed by the lies. They did not get their cancer treated because of the lies. Their heart disease got worse because of the lies. And then, when your 50-year-old friend died of the COVID because you're so goddamn smart and you think you know what the hell you're doing, you don't say, well, hire a lawyer. You don't say, investigate. No, I trust the government. I'm a fucking idiot. And then you have the gall to sit down across a table with your brother and say, you know what, brother? The fact that you don't believe in the mask and don't believe in the vaccine means in some tenuous, fucked up way that only a sociopath can weave, you're connected to my friend's death. And guess what? Lots of us went through that one too. Lots of us went through it and we're still going through it because so many of you are so fucking stupid. And yeah, I'm being mean for a reason. Way too late in the game to be diplomatic. Is it possible they'll release a real virus? Who knows? You tell me what nihilists and sociopaths will do. I'm neither one. I tried to be a nihilist once, but it turned out I had way too much passion. And a passionate nihilist is a contradiction. Yeah. You tell me about your grandmother and your 50-year-old friend and some other story, and I tell you, if you gave a shit about your friend, you would investigate deeper. If you gave a shit about your 50-year-old friend, you would find out what the fuck really happened. But instead, you listen to the hospitals. You listen to the quote-unquote scientists who told you not to think. I not only have no respect for you, not only do I think you're a shitty person, but whatever doom comes your way, I will not be one of those people with an open heart saying, well, Lord, this was the 10,000th time you gave them a chance, but this time, even though they fucked their neighbor and fucked their community and acted like a piece of shit, why don't you help them? No. You should pray there is no God. You should pray there are no consequences. You should pray that that Lawrence Krauss motherfucker or any of the other weird astrophysicists and cosmologists are right, and it's a big multiverse and a big fuck you, and it doesn't fucking matter. You should pray. Open up your soul to Satan and pray there is no God, because if there is a God, we are in big fucking trouble. How many of you had experiences like that? And I know if you're listening voluntarily as a podcast listener, you're probably not the person I'm yelling at, but I don't know who else to yell at, so I guess you're the one getting my noise. But if you're smart, and I hope you are, because I hope you're listening because you're smart, you know I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to that abstract royal you that represents the human race, and guess what? I'm a part of it too. There are things I could have done differently. 1997, for example. 1997. I just signed for my platoon in Korea as a platoon leader. I signed for it, which means I had to check the equipment. I had to check status. How many troops? How trained were they? How much equipment? Do the vehicles function? Stuff like that. After I signed for the platoon, both I and the previous platoon leader agreed that the strength of that platoon was at best 60%. That's 6-0. 6-0, I believe, is a D. That's a D. If we're doing the public school Prussian grading system, 60% is a D. But this was Clinton's army, baby. The status of troops in Korea is top secret. You have to send that status using encrypted systems. At the time, we used an encrypted scanner modem that sent these status reports directly to Camp Red Cloud, 8th Army. Again, it was important, right? You're there to defend South Korea. Technically, there's never been a peace. It's just an armistice. And if you don't know, periodically things do get weird. It's just nobody cares anymore, except for the Koreans. So I just signed for my platoon, and then I went on staff duty. And staff duty is when you take an officer within the battalion, and they monitor the radios and the telephones for the battalion after hours when you're not in a combat or training status. Which is to say, if you're not deployed, and it's sort of normal business operations, you have to have an officer on call 24 hours. So staff duty is where you serve for 24 hours straight on call, you take over, and then you get relieved the next day. One of the things you do is you fax these status reports to Camp Red Cloud. I saw the status report, I think a couple days, maybe a week after I took over the platoon. And at that time, the platoon was even in worse shape. So if it was 60%, I would have said 50 because we lost some people, we weren't getting replacements, and another vehicle went down. But what did my status report say that was going to Camp Red Cloud? What did it say? It said 90%. 90% is an A minus. That's not a D. Now, of course, in the world of bullets and bombs where things probably matter, these things are not relevant. But that's what pissed me off. It pissed me off that the truth was 60%, maybe 50% strength. But what was being reported to our, you know, to our leadership, to the next level up, was a lie. It was a lie, and actually, if we were going to war the next day, it was a lie that put people's lives at risk. It was a lie about status that was incorrect. If you told the truth about status, people can plan around that, even in an emergency. So if you say, well, damn, by lying, they made it better. No, actually, dumbass, by lying about status, they made it worse. They actually put people's lives at risk. Yeah. You can plan around the truth. You can't plan around lies. Ask Von Paulus at Sixth Army. Ask Napoleon at Waterloo. You can plan around the truth. You cannot plan around lies. That's reality. If I had taken my oath seriously, and if you've listened to my podcast before, or you've heard the story before, but if I had taken my oath seriously, I would have basically raised holy hell because that was my duty. I was supposed to do the right thing as an officer. I had a duty to principals, not just to commanders. We were not the Soviet Army. Maybe we are now. We were not the Prussian Army. Maybe we are now. We were supposed to have values and principles. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. But it turns out that every single one of those principles I saw broken my first year on active duty. And every time it happened, the way I rationalized it, well, I'm just a butter bar. I'm just a lieutenant. What the hell can I do? I fucked up. It would have been better that I had been kicked out because I have no doubt there were other officers who were close enough to raising holy hell. So if I had only had the courage to say this is wrong, who knows what would have happened? You don't know. I don't know. Ding, ding, ding. We will never know. So when I say the you and I'm angry, I turn that on myself because it's appropriate. We all need to hear this. We are at a point in American history where only the atheist can sleep well at night. Or I should say the atheists and the false believers. The atheists and the false believers probably get plenty of fucking sleep. But anybody that takes the message of Jesus Christ seriously, including forgiveness and compassion, because of course that's part of it, but within reason. Like, it's not infinite. It doesn't last forever, ever, ever. It's not like you get to live forever. If you were a total screw-up, ethically speaking, morally speaking, you only have this one life. So if you are a total ethical screw-up, you don't get extra innings. There is no overtime, okay? You might end up beating a cancer and getting 5 more years, but within 150 years, everybody you know will be dead. Doesn't mean there won't be other people, but those people will be dead. You do not get a gazillion years on Earth. You get a short time on Earth. Short time. And if all you do in that time is act like a piece of shit, I don't care how many times you go to church. I find it hard to believe, you know, it's going to work out for you. Who knows? Who knows? People have different ways of defining faith. Okay? If there's a road you're on, you're traveling this road, and there's a sign that says, bridge is out ahead. Half a mile ahead, the bridge is out over the river of doom. And you're going 60 miles an hour. But for some magical reason, Jesus shows up in your car. And he says, don't worry, as long as I'm here with you, you can make it across the river. Faith, in that instance, would be stepping on the gas, baby. Faith would actually be going 100 miles an hour. The person without faith would pull over to the side of the road and have a debate with Jesus. Now, of course, in this hypothetical, I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm not talking about a hallucination. I'm not talking about an alien. I'm not talking about all the other scenarios and counterfactuals and hypotheticals that we could go through. In this case, you have to grant me that Jesus is actually there. But it's not about Jesus. It's about the driver of the car. People in America right now, even the ones that say they believe in God, are acting like there is no God. That's why they sleep well at night. You know, whether it's the New Age Catholics or the weird monetarist, Protestants, the BMW Jesus people, lowercase j, there are lots of people walking around like, oh, it's just fine and everything's fine and we can keep doing the stupid stuff we're doing and there are no consequences. And didn't you know, Dan? Jesus said you don't have to read the Old Testament. That's one of the many lies floating around Christendom today, is that you don't have to read the Old Testament. Which is funny because there's a lot of wisdom in the Old Testament that Jesus references and that Jesus believed in. So it's weird if people say, well, Jesus said you don't have to read the Old Testament. I think that's another lie. There are so many people like that. You're sitting in the car and you're driving down the road and you're by yourself and you're going 60 miles an hour. And you see a sign that says bridge out ahead, half a mile. And you start to slow down, but then Jesus, you know, just like ta-da, shows up in the passenger side and says, listen, dude, Dan, I know what the sign said, but if you believe in me, you're going to hit the pedal. We're going to do a Dukes of Hazzard, Dan. In 2000, I think it was, I want to say it was 2010. It could have been 2011, actually. So it could have been 2011, but in 2011, I was visiting some friends in Eastern Washington. And I was driving back on, I think it was Highway 20, and it was early in the morning, and the road was basically clear. And I'm going down the western slope of the Cascades and looking into these valleys, and they're deep and they're far, and the road is clear, and I can see 5 miles ahead, but the road is going almost not straight down, but the angle is steep enough that your brain can kind of play tricks on you and you can feel like you're falling. And my first instinct was to slow down because it was freaking me out. I was having a panic attack. And so I pulled over to the side of the road and I thought about it for a bit and I got back on the road. I convinced myself to keep going. It's just your brain. It's a lonely road. It's early in the morning. It looks like you're falling, like you're going to fall off the cliff. You're not. Just focus on the road ahead of you, not the road too far ahead of you. Part of faith, and this is the part I don't do well with, but part of faith is focusing on the road ahead of you, but not worrying too much about the road that's too far ahead. You see, I was caught up in that. And that's something that I think Kierkegaard likened to a kind of vertigo. The experience of freedom, along with consciousness, gives a person a dizzying experience. You look out across your life and you say, look at all these choices I could make. But when you get older, you realize that that gets narrower and narrower. I'm 51 years old, and at this point in human history, I would be really surprised if I'm alive in 10 years. I'm sorry. I know that that sounds pessimistic. On the other hand, Jesus might say, Dan, Dan, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what the sign says. Don't worry about that. I'm in control. That is also faith. You see, the question is, how many of us could do two things right now? Not just one. I know some of you can do one. Some of you can say, well, I don't worry about it. It's all in Jesus' hands. That's half the problem. That's not the whole problem, and that's not all of having faith. The other side is doing what Christ would want you to do and not worrying about it. Now, that's a little bit harder, isn't it? It's all okay to say, oh, I prayed to God and I said, take all my sins and all my screw-ups, take the poison in the rivers and take all the crap we're doing to countries overseas, things that today I could make different choices about, take my job. You know what? I have to work your job. No, you don't. If enough people who worked in the banking system told the banking system to fuck you, the banking system, at least for a while, would stop working. And if enough people simply stopped using it, it would cease to exist. But it takes enough people, right? Not everyone and not one person. Enough people. And so the question is, how many people have enough faith in Jesus to do two things? To trust that Jesus is in charge, and, just as important, to live the Christian life. You have to do both, don't you? You can't just do one. You can't just be Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin, and then, well, but I believe. Well, I don't think that's how faith works. You have to trust that Jesus is in charge. You do. But you have to have a purpose that is related to that trust. Mindless faith, anybody can do that. Any living conscious thing can probably trick itself into believing something. But you kind of have to live according to your principles. You have to do that. So do I. There were multiple opportunities when I was a junior officer in the Army where I could have chosen to do the right thing. But because everybody around me said, no, Dan, this is just the way it is. That's a funny argument too, isn't it? This is just the way it is. It's always been this bad. It's convenient though, because a lot of the weird folks that use that argument will then flip it on its head and say, but we have to change. We have to do things differently because even though it's always been like that, that's always been bad. You need to be very careful about the people you listen to because one day of the week, they might tell you, it's always been this way. And then the next day, they'll tell you, but you gotta change. And they will conveniently use those stances anytime they want to without principle. And you can call that moral relativism. You can call that Satanism. I call it crap. It doesn't matter what you call it. It's not Christian, though. That's important. It's not Christian. If you really care about the grandmother that died in the hospital, if you care about the uncle or the dad or the sister or the child, why don't you dig deeper? You don't have to believe me. I don't really give a shit if you believe me. But believe this, hospitals are incredibly corrupt places. They might be about on the scale with that carnival that rolls around in late July with the rickety, rusty roller coaster. That's where I would put your average American hospital. So you don't have to trust me, but do your own research on hospitals and ask yourself this question. Is it possible that they would lie to you to get a payout, $20,000 or $30,000 per patient from the feds, and avoid a lawsuit? Is it possible that they would deceive you over money? I not only think it's possible, I saw with my own eyes that it's possible. So it's possible. I worked around hospitals. I can tell you they're filled with a lot of very crooked, scummy people. A lot of sociopaths. A lot of people I would even say are kind of satanic. Is it possible that they would overcharge you? Is it possible that the insurance companies and the providers are equally crapheads? Yes, 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 and yes. Is it possible they lied to you about your friend or uncle or cousin or aunt that they say has the COVID? Yes, it's actually, in my opinion, more likely than the monkey herpes that I see very little evidence for, whatever. Way more possible. You're better off making that choice. If you care about your aunt or your uncle or your sister or your friend that died of the COVID. But if you really care more about the lie, then like I said, you're a sodomite scumbag. And you're going to burn in hell. That's also where I'm at. You see, if there is no God, there is no hell. And who knows, there might not be a hell. There may be no consequences. But if there is a God and if there are consequences, a lot of you guys, not necessarily the people listening, but a lot of the folks out there living in the great beyond, and maybe almost all of us, we're in trouble. We were supposed to say no to this. We were supposed to stand up to this. Now, I have a friend who would say, well, Dan, but what about prophecy? And my friend is also correct. But that's assuming these are the times we're in. If we're not in those times, if these are just ordinary craphead times, then I will just say you should be different and you should try to make different choices and we should all say no to this crap. And whatever rationalizations you're going through, well, I gotta have the vaccine to have my job, fine. But when you're drowning because of that, when you're being pulled into the pits of hell because of that, don't complain, please. Be aware of the decisions you are making and take ownership of them. That's it. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be fancy. But take ownership of the stupid crap you do. I take ownership of my stupid crap. That's why I got about 6 boxes worth of crap I can drag around the country. Because of all the things I'll tell you, my consequences fall on my own head. Which is more than I can say for your government, and more I can say for your economy, and more than I can say for your monetary system. My consequences fall on my head. Now, eventually, consequences will fall on everybody's head. But, you know, that's Jesus. You see, that's my challenge. That's where I'm at. I think I do okay, for the most part, at trying to live a Christian life, except for one thing. I'm having a hard time taking the too far down the road, the stuff that's beyond my control, and simply handing it over to Jesus. I've had a hard time with that. I've had a hard time disconnecting completely from the world. I have a project I'm working on right now that technically makes it impossible. There is no way for me to do it. I can't work on the project and not be connected to the world. If it weren't for this project, which I need because I need the money, I'd just be here in Utah, and who knows what I'd even be talking about right now, because where I'm at, it's all crap. I mean, if you say, Dan, what about Zero Hedge? Listen, Zero Hedge is just the last stop in this neo-Stalinist hellhole for people trying to find the news, but it's crap too. But I got a job, and I got to make money. I do. We have to make money. We got to pay for food, water, shelter. I get it. I'm not a communist, even though I live in a system that feels like it's becoming communist. Not becoming, really has been for a long time. But if there are no consequences, and if there is no God, then it's just this miserable grinding down to nothing. And in that world, I gotta say, I do get sick of it. I get sick of it. I get sick of the whole thing. The lies, the clowns, the freaks, the believers, the people waving flags of all colors. All you guys make me sick. Commies, lefties, righties, Democrats, Republicans, your voters, you make me sick. I don't know why you do what you do, okay? Even if voting worked, which it doesn't, it would probably lead to no good anyways. You shouldn't seek after controlling other people. You should not seek after power. And if you're a Christian, you should know you have but one God. Why is this complicated? Why is it so complicated to Christians that they have one God? Why? because science has given you so much? You have an electronic dog collar. You have a mortgage payment. You have a hybrid car. Science has given you so much. You have a credit card. You have a student loan. You have food that's giving you stomach cancer. Science has given you so much. You have streams that can no longer sustain life. You have rivers that are turning gunkous and brown. You have crabs you can't eat unless you want to, whatever. You don't care, do you? Science has given you so much. Oh, but Dan, you can't blame that on... You know what? If you idiots are going to blame God for stupid stuff people do, then I think I can just blame science if I want to. I can be just as stupid. If you're an atheist, there's no conceivable way you could blame God and still be consistent for anything. And if you're a Christian and you look at the acts of people and you know that the Lord gave us free will and you understand that this is not Eden, how the hell do you blame God for the stupid shit people do? How? How do you do that? How do you conceive in your brain that God is the one who caused the horror story? That God is the one who killed your friend with the COVID? Way more likely the hospital did. Way more likely. And if if there was a rule of law, who knows? Maybe you could make a few bucks off their dead corpse, right? Not that you care about your friend, but maybe you want to make a few bucks so you can invest in that new home or that new vacation rental, right? Way more likely that the hospital killed your friend than the COVID. Way more likely that the hospital killed your grandma. I'm emphasizing this point because if there are any real journalists left, this is a great story. This is a real story. This is a story that goes back decades. But you know what? There is no rule of law. And you don't live in a free country. You don't. You live in a two-bit, facaded-out, neo-Stalinist hellhole Death Star. You have no idea who your rulers are. All you know is you get puppets, and you get shadow play, and you get Dementia Joe. But you don't know who's in charge. You don't. I had an outline for this podcast. I was going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. But instead, it started out as a kind of rant about Afghanistan again. And all I can say is that, it's true. We need to give to Jesus the things that are really in his authority. We need to give to God the future. We don't control it. God does. But there are choices we can make now, today, this week, this day, this moment, that we do control. And we can be guided by Christ or we can be guided by something else. I try to be guided by Christ. I screw up, but that is my compass. To the extent that I do it well, you know what? I'll find out in about 9 years, probably. And one day you will too, if you're a Christian. And if you're not, you'll find out anyways. But I have really reached the point in this whole game where I'm just wondering, could I be wrong, right? Wouldn't it be better if there was no God? Because if there is no consequences, it doesn't mean I want to harm anybody. I'm not one of the scumbag pieces of shit that occupies most of the control of the world today. I don't fit. No, I wouldn't want to harm anyone else, but I might want to go up into the woods and just go away. If there was no God, I would say, I'm so sick of most of you. I'm so sick of all these lies. I'm so sick of all this deception and self-deception and poisoning and pointing fingers at the sky and saying something or someone else is to blame, but not us. It's nothing we're doing. We're doing everything great. We're not screwing up. So if it's not God, it's the aliens, it's the multiverse, it's something else. It's a monkey herpes virus. It's the monkey herpes. And you know, they're talking about Marburg too. Oh my God, Marburg. I think that's a hemorrhagic fever like Ebola. So you know, even without a God, clever monkeys who don't want to take responsibility will probably find clever monkey ways to point at something else. I see commies doing it. I see atheists doing it. They never stop doing it. They give up their God, but they never give up their complaining, though. They never give up their shaking their fist and pointing at something, saying, that's why it happened to us. No. Brothers and sisters, point that finger back at yourself. I'm doing it right now. You don't want to believe in God, fine, but don't pretend that all this crap that's happened to us is somehow a frickin' accident, or the universe hates us, or it's just bad luck. You want to play the Hanlon's Razor game because, hey, if there's no God, Hanlon's Razor must be true, right? But no, actually, it probably doesn't work like that. Without a God, it doesn't stop being true that humans, for the most part, are the source and cause of their own goddamn problems. Their own problems. Period. So I am glad I have my faith, but it's about all I got right now. My faith in Jesus and the walks I have with the dogs, and the fact that I live in a house where the people are decent people. And for the most part, where I'm at in Utah, people aren't totally batshit crazy. But the other thing is, there aren't a lot of people here. And so I suppose if I lived on the moon, I'd say, well, the moon's not so bad with the COVID stuff. If I lived on the moon, but I don't. I live on planet Bo Blimpdoc with the rest of the freaks, running from coyotes of my own mind, suffering the faults and failures of my own soul fracture, looking for protein soup, looking for castaway animal sides and bone meal and fur and grinkus and those dried up turds left behind in the poop field. Because I could have said good morning to you, poop field. And that probably would have been the same as saying good morning, planet Earth. Good morning, poop field. Good morning, poop field. You're acting like a bunch of skunks. Good morning, poop field. I mean planet Earth. Good morning, poop field. Oops, I mean planet Earth.